Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 reads this way. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and lifted up in our lives, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be and to experience more of your grace. Bless the meeting tonight in the message. And again, Lord, may you be honored and glorified, and may you strengthen the faith that you've given to us, and may we be found faithful when you return, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is A More Excellent Way, A More Excellent Way. Basically, how to walk and live in the more excellent way is the truth that Paul is wanting to convey to believers here at Corinth, but also to you and I tonight, because it's in the canon of Scripture. So with every bit of information, we need to remember, how are we going to perform what God is asking us to do? When you come to the Word of God, and the Word of God says, this is what I want, this is what I expect, right? This is the way I'm leading, follow me. We need to decide, how are we going to do what God is asking us to do? Are we going to follow God in our strength or in His? And I've got news for you. What does it mean to follow God in His strength? That's something I think that is discovered as we seek the Lord in that there is a strength that brings rest in our lives, and it does a work. It is a multifaceted work that takes place. When we're serving God in His strength, the flesh is being subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit. The outer man is broken for the new spirit to come out, and lives are changed beginning with our own, and there's a joy that passes the world's comprehension. And that's the confidence that God wants the child of God to walk in. That is easily said, a little bit more that takes place to experience that. And it's not because of God, but it's because of our hard heads sometimes, to get that truth, to get that understanding past our ideas and what we feel and how we think. And by the way, all those emotions God has given to us, and He wants us to subdue them or to subject them to His power and His authority. So if we choose to follow God in our strength, really, there's not a whole lot of work that's going to take place. We're going to come to our end, really. We're going to be frustrated. But if we choose to follow God in His strength, then that's where the work begins to take place in seeking God for His direction in our lives. If we're doing it in our strength, we don't have to ask God for a thing. And we won't ask God for a thing if we're doing it in our strength. We'll just be busy doing something for the Lord, but we'll miss what God is trying and wanting to do in our lives. So let's just look at a couple of things here. Notice we begin here with this idea, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." So that's what Paul is really wanting to reveal to the believer, and even in our day and age. And what we're going to do is just cover a little bit of the fundamental truths concerning the more excellent way. And so Paul, two thoughts tonight. Faith to remove mountains without love, that's the first thought, and the behavior of God's love. So again, two thoughts. Faith to remove mountains without love, and that's important because we can remove mountains without the love of God. We're a saved child of God. There are things that we can do and that God will bless, because the Word of God never returns void, but it's not really realizing the full blessing of the Lord. In other words, you could be a saved child of God and do things in the strength of the flesh, and God will honor that because He's gracious to a certain degree, but we will never experience the full blessing and the full rest that God wants to give to every believer. Have you ever been anxious or really distraught? Paul has too, and he'll tell you that, but he'll also tell you that he found rest when he was in the energy of the Spirit of God
and enjoying that walk. So let's look at this first thought: faith to remove mountains without love. And notice Paul is giving us here an illustration in chapter 13, verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men," it's amazing how that part is missed, "and of angels. Though I can speak multi-languages, though I can communicate the gospel, though I have certain abilities of myself, and have not charity, which is love, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal." Basically, he says, I'm just a noisemaker. That's all I have. So this is the faith to remove mountains without love. He has an ability to do something, and yet the love of God is missing. Hey, do you think it's possible to preach and not do it with the love of God? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry to say I've been guilty of doing that. Is it possible to serve God in any capacity without the love of God? And the answer is yes, we can do those things. And God is warning us to be careful and to choose the more excellent way. And we'll see that here in just a moment. He says, verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries," listen to this, "and all knowledge," that he's saying, if I had it all, if I could do it all, "and though I have," notice, "all faith," can you have any more faith than all faith? I mean, you've got it all, don't you? "I have all faith so that I could remove mountains," plural, more than one. And he says, "and have not charity," he says, "I am nothing." Isn't that amazing? When you stop to think about it, Paul's saying we can have so much talent. We can even have the graces of God and the gift of God, and we could be missing the love of God in our lives. And by the way, the love of God is so much more than what we give to others. Think about that. The love of God is more, listen, the love of God is love for God and the things of God. So if we love God, then we will love the things that He loves. And if we love the things that He loves, we'll also be repulsed or repelled from the things that He does not love. There are things that God wants us to stay away from that He doesn't participate in, that He has nothing to do with. And so likewise also that will take place in our lives as well. So see, we can, if we're not careful, we look to just simply the things that we do and we don't do, and we're not really understanding the love of God in us, because the love of God is the love for God and the things of God. And so Paul says this. Now, these are illustrations because Paul never did any of these things here in the sense of what we're going to see here. Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," Paul didn't do that. "And though I give my body to be burned," Paul did not do that either. "And have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." Now, I'm not saying that Paul didn't help and do different things at different times. But he basically did not live a very luxurious lifestyle. I mean, he was a tent maker, as you know his history, and he worked to supplement his income, and he was trying not to be a burden to the different churches that he had started. And so here he is, he's saying, if I've done all these things and could do all these things and had not the love of God, it profiteth me nothing. So God is saying the excellent way, the more excellent way, is to have the love of God in us. So if the love of God is in us, the love of God through His Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, so we have access to the love of God, we will love the things that God loved. Jesus was the example of the love of God, was He not? He was not thinking about Himself. He was thinking about the gospel. And he was thinking about the way of the gospel for his believers. He was wanting them to understand how to walk in this love. And so Paul got a handle on this, and he's teaching the disciples. And we are them tonight, right? We are disciples tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've come to the house of God to understand more. And so here we're going to look at, just take a few verses here, and look at the love of God here, how it is to be manifested in and through our lives. Jesus said, if you love me, I will love you and my Father will love you, and we will manifest ourselves to you, right? We will dwell with you. And then in that was in John 14. John 15 says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. And he's talking about the Spirit of God and the evidence of that Spirit. You know, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but God abiding in us is something different. See, we have the Holy Spirit. That's God's part. He has sealed us with that Holy Spirit. But now, are we giving God His way? Are we yielding to the Lord and presenting ourselves? And I tell you, I know you've heard me say this before, but it's because God wants us. He will not infiltrate our lives. We have to make a conscientious, concerted effort to say, God, I want you in my life. I want you to guide me into these truths. That just can't be haphazard. That just can't casually take place. It won't. It has to be something that we knock in prayer on the door of God and say, God, we want this. I want you to do this. I cannot do this. And as we look at this, you'll realize we can't do this in our strength. And so if these things take place, you'll know that it is God working in and through you. So notice this in verse 4. Charity suffereth long. We could just park right there. How patient are we? Well, in ourselves, we're not very patient. Let's just face it. We can be patient, but it is a struggle. You know why it's a struggle? Because of ourselves. You know, we're fighting the natural man too, right? But there's a way, as we yield to the Lord, that the Lord overcomes that. So very quickly, he said, charity suffereth long and is kind. That means all the time. That doesn't mean just when I want it. That just means, that just flows. See, this is supposed to be flowing. This isn't supposed to be, if you're making a conscientious effort. Now, don't misunderstand this. We do want to make a conscientious, concerted effort to the Lord to do this in us. And then when He is doing this in us, it will not be a conscientious, concerted effort to produce the love of God, because He'll be producing it. If it is a conscientious, concerted effort to be kind and lovable, then we're doing it in our strength. If it's a work, if it's hard, then it's us doing it, not the Lord doing it. Because when God does it, it's easy. His yoke is easy. And so charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And this is the word for love. Love vaunteth or boasteth not itself. It's not puffed up, proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. And if we really be honest with, we cannot do that without a conscientious, concerted effort, but then it will just be us. And that's not what God wants us to do. So, he says this, verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Rejoiceth. Rejoiceth. Think about that. In the truth. Where's the truth tonight? Where's the truth? In the Word of God. Right? Where's the truth? In the Word of God. We can rejoice in the Word of God. God brings us to these places. Listen, let's just be honest. You have probably, I have read the Word of God in the flesh. I have. I wasn't angry. I just maybe was distracted, had other things, but I was disciplining myself. This was my time to read the Word of God. Had a whole bunch of things on my mind, and I got next to nothing out of it, because I was preoccupied. And that was in my strength. But when I just say, okay, God, this is your time. And Lord, I'm asking you to just lay aside, clear my mind of all these things. Remember what I said? Listen, this is kind of sad, but kind of important too. The world will not skip a beat when you leave this earth. It will continue going. Paul was very important. And no doubt a lot of believers grieved when he left the earth. And remember what he said? Listen, I'm kind of torn between two places. For me, it's better if I go, but it's more needful for you if I stay. He understood that. But when it comes to the world did not miss Paul. The Christians may have missed him. For sure they did. But the world won't miss us. Why do I say that to us? Because we, I think, sometimes think that the things, please, I'm not trying to say be negligent of these things, but they're not as important as making time for the Lord in a place where we can have a clear mind and not be scatterbrained. You know what I'm saying? Where we're preoccupied and we don't do ourselves any favors and surely don't do anything for the Lord to do that. So he wants us to be in a place where we can hear from him. He says, rejoice. He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. God wants to bring us and will bring us into this place. And it's not a conscientious, concerted effort on our part when God is doing it. He'll bring us there. And sometimes, you know what, it's just as easy as just saying, God, I need you right now to lead my heart and mind. And I hope you've done that before. I've approached the Word of God. I've been pressed for time. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I only did this one time. And pray for us. We'll be taking Gracie back to school, and that's kind of a long trip. But it was one of those things where I didn't get back till in the wee early hours of the morning. Maybe it was midnight. Maybe it was 1 or 2 o'clock. I had a busy week, had not had the opportunity to get the message all together. And I was dead dog tired. I couldn't keep my eyeballs open. And I said, Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't even think straight right now. And you know what I sensed him saying? Go to sleep and see me in the morning. And do you know, I couldn't have gotten a better message in the morning. God, I got a good night's rest and was able to. Sometimes we just need to ask the Lord to give us the rest that we might hear from him. And so he wants us to do that. And sometimes we can force things, and it's better if we just stop and say, God, I need you. Whatever it might just be just a lot of things going on in life. And you may not be physically tired. You may approach the Lord at a good time and not very late at all, and just can't get into the Word of God. Just a lot of distractions or what have you. Say, God, I need you so that I might hear from you. And if you've got things that are pressing, he might tell you, we'll take care of those things and come back. And we'll open up the Word of God to you. You know what? We have a loving God. Amen. You know, he's not. Sometimes I think we don't see him rightly. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes we can think not right of him. Okay, he's a very loving, compassionate God. Verse 7: Beareth all things. This is God's love. Beareth all things, even me. He can bear me. That's amazing. Just ask my wife. No, I'm kidding. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Can you and I do that without a concerted, conscientious, concerted effort? No, not really. It'll still be in the strength of the flesh. And then lastly, verse 8, charity never faileth. Never faileth. Does your love fail? Your own love fail? Yeah, our love fails. Charity never faileth. God's love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But God wants us to know this. His love never fails. Listen to the last verse, verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? The love of God. You can have all the other spiritual gifts, and if you don't have love, what are we? Not a lot, are we? We might be something in our own minds, but we're not encouraging anybody in the Lord. See that we've got to be broken in order for the Spirit of God to be released in our lives. He's in there. If we're a saved child of God, and he goes out with us, he uses our hearts and minds, our speech, but people will be touched by the Spirit of God that indwells us. And then watch out. Amen? Then watch what takes place in our own families, in our church families, and in the world. Paul says, this is the more excellent way, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many blessings and showing us the more excellent way. Lord, help us to call upon you and to seek you in that we might see you and experience you in a great and mighty way that changes our life and the lives of others. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.